Our scripture reading for today is John chapter 6. Pastor Jack will be continuing his sermon series on walking with Jesus. And the message for this morning is titled, Bread of Heaven. I'll be reading John chapter 6, verses 35 to 45. That's a little different than in your bulletin. So if you took a Bible from the back, in the English Standard Version, it's on page 1060. And New International Version, it's on page 1657. John chapter 6, starting in verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. The word of the Lord.
Morning, Water Dam. It's good to be with all of you. I especially appreciate Pete's words to encourage us to remember those who have lost their loved ones, especially in this time of the year. As we get to enjoy our freedom, we sleep under the blanket of freedom that those who have went before provided for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and prepare our hearts. Father God, as we think about Jesus' words today, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. We, like the Samaritan woman and like these people that Jesus is talking to, both know what hunger and thirst is. Physically, we hunger and thirst. But spiritually, we also hunger and thirst. We pray, God, that you would help us today as we are hearing Jesus' sermon to the people. We hear him saying these words. We hear him saying that he's the bread of life and that we would like that bread of life. Give me this bread. Give me this water, the woman said. We pray, God, that you would help us through this time, that for all of our people, we pray for those that have lost loved ones. We pray especially for our veterans, our families that have lost loved ones that have served and given the ultimate sacrifice. We pray for them and we lift them up to you. We thank you for them. We ask, Lord, that you would be with their families and support them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we think about it, today as we gather, we're joining here together. We're still walking with Jesus. And whether you're here or you're online somewhere watching this message, this is Jesus' sermon. It starts actually back in the very beginning of chapter 6. So you see that John chapter 6 back there. There's 22 to 65. It's actually could go through that length of sermon, but it starts in the very beginning in chapter 6. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, that whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And you hear the people saying, give me this bread to Jesus. Give me this bread. And rightly so. They'd seen Jesus do a miracle in the very beginning of chapter 6. He fed 5,000 people with the loaves and the fishes of the little boy. We often hear pastors say he brought his lunch, and Jesus borrowed his lunch and multiplied what he brought. But there is a greater need here that Jesus is talking, a deeper need that we all have, and that I am attracted to this verse, and I lean in when I hear these words because there is a hunger and thirst in me that it's hard to quench. that it's a spiritual aspect to it, isn't there? I read in a survival guide, you know, Jesus talks about being bread, and we think about food, and we need food. You can live less than 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. And so they talk about those things, those different aspects of surviving. And Jesus addresses these things in this chapter. In John chapter 3, he addressed to Nicodemus that you need the breath of God. You need air, but you need the air of God. You need the breath of God. In John chapter 3, he talks about to Nicodemus, you must be born again to have this life that he's talking about, eternal life. And then in John chapter 4, he talks to the woman at the well, and he talks to her about the water she's getting out of that cistern. And she says to him the same thing that these people say to Jesus when he talks about being bread. Give me this water. Sir, give me this water. So I don't have to come back here all the time, right? And how often do we feel like we have to go back to the well? How often do we feel like we have to keep going back? That the bread doesn't satisfy, the water doesn't satisfy that we get. So Jesus is emphasizing something and repeating the statement, I am the bread of life, and that I have come down from heaven. And he's doing it on purpose. He wants the people to realize who he is and what he came to do. And the claim is that Christ is for the soul as bread is for the body. I heard Richard Buse talking. He's a pastor. He's passed away now. But he was talking about, he worked at All Souls Church. He was talking about a man who was very successful in the entertainment business and that he lived just down the road from his church. And in his diary, his family had got all of his writings down in his diary and they put them into a book. And he recorded in his diary these words. He says, I wonder if anyone will know the emptiness of my life. I wonder if anyone will stand in the room that I have lived and touch the things that were once a part of my life and wonder about me and ask themselves, what matter of man is this? What matter of man was I? However, how to ever explain who I was? Today, with Cliff Richards and Dora Brown, he says in the diary in another entry, he said, invited me to a Billy Graham concert or a Billy Graham evangelistic event. And then he wrote, has the world gone completely mad? In other words, he lives just a few doors down from a church. And here he is being invited to an evangelistic message by Billy Graham. And he's not willing to go. And he's hungry. You can hear it in his voice. You can hear it in what he's written. Give me this bread. But he doesn't know where to get it. He doesn't know what it is. We're looking at John chapter 6. Jesus had just performed the miracles of feeding of the 5,000. Some people say that it was probably 20,000 people because they said they probably only counted the men. So there was women and children there. I don't know. The Bible says he fed 5,000. I would just go with that. Whether he fed 5,000 or 20,000, it really doesn't matter. That's a lot of people, right? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And the people could take as much as they want, and they were satisfied. It's amazing. And then they had some left over, and he told his disciples to go grab what was left. He had leftovers. He gave them a doggy bag. I don't know. I don't know what they did with it. But you can imagine being there that day, and the food never runs out. It's like when they come to you at Texas Roadhouse, and they say, do you want more bread? Right? With that cinnamon butter. Oh, my goodness. Or the breadsticks from Olive Garden, right? Do you want more bread? I remember a time when I would just say, yes. I remember when there was no bread left over in my life. Now there's a lot of bread left over. I don't eat as much. That butter, oh, my goodness. But you can imagine the people were, like, blown away by this. And then he goes on down the road. He withdraws because the crowd's ready to make him a king in the first part of chapter 6. They're ready to put him there by force, it said. So it says he withdrew up into the mountains. He sent his disciples on ahead across the sea, and they were crossing over to Capernaum. And I believe that's where they were going. And they were ended up in a storm. And this is where Jesus walks out onto the water. And we pick it up in verse 22. This massive crowd couldn't get enough of Jesus. And it says, on the next day, that crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat, talking about the disciples, and that Jesus had not entered that boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. And other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And so when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, in verse 24 it says, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but they didn't have power boats back then. They didn't have, you know, it wasn't a quick trip, quick jaunt. It was actually, they had to, this is the next day. This crowd is going to find this guy that created, this man, all that bread. He's done a miracle. And they're looking for him. And they want this bread. So they pick up and they take off and they go find him. And in verse 25, it says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? When did you come here? They know that he probably walked on water. Now, I can't turn it, so you're going to have to turn it. But what they were seeking was, they were seeking Jesus. And we deal with that question, what are you seeking me for? What is Christ? Why are you here today? Are you seeking Jesus? Are you seeking the bread that satisfies? Do you hunger and thirst for Jesus? Not the breadsticks, but Jesus. I'm going to have to ask you to turn it. I don't have the remote here to do it. If you have it back there, I'd love it. But what I would say to you is that look what Jesus' answer is. He says he answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you had your fill of the loaves. Oh, so you had your fill of the loaves. And when we think about that specific picture, oh, thank you, thank you. I find it interesting that the people, he talks about bread, and he says, you've had your fill of the loaves. I like how he said that. There's almost a little bit of sarcasm in it. You had your fill of loaves. You're not really looking for me. You're looking for the breadsticks. You know, those things that you get at Texas Roadhouse. He didn't say that. I don't want you to go off and tell people Pastor Jack said that they had Texas Roadhouse in the Bible. But what he is saying, he says, that's why you're looking for me. You want to come back because you like the breadsticks. Or you like the cinnamon crunchy roll or bagel that they make at Panera. That's one of my favorites. You're not really looking for me, he's saying. And I think about that. And I think about, like, this is like a picture for us. And this is the way he goes through the sermon, is that the idea is that the bread, and they're going to bring up the bread that Moses gave them in the desert, the people. The bread from old. The manna from old. And what they're saying is that the manna was there for them to feed them for 40 years in the wilderness, but it didn't satisfy. It's not going to be enough, right? And that we fill up on things that are not enough. We look for the wrong things. And so Jesus continues, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Now these people are poor. They're looking for a meal. They're not looking for a Messiah. And they're interested, and he's caught their attention with this miracle, because who can make bread for 5,000 people? And so they're hungry. And they're hungry not only for, like, what in the world is this all about? But he says, you're not even looking for me. You're looking for the bread. And so Jesus tells them, that food only sustains your life for a day, for another day maybe. But Jesus wants to give you eternal life. It'll sustain you for all of your life. So what are you seeking? Well, they said, well, what must we do? They continue on with this picture. Jesus answered them, what must you do? They said, you know, they said it like this, what must we do to be doing the works of God? In other words, Rabbi, teach us a lesson here. What do we need to do to get saved? And he answers them, well, the work of God is that you believe in him whom he has sent. So notice the mercy that he understands that they're poor. He understands that they've been moved by the fact that he created bread and they got to eat and they were satisfied. But he tells them that you need to not work for the food that doesn't endure. It won't last, he's saying. Now, if you're like me, I have a hard time because I get here. I'm here. This is me. And it's probably some of you. Maybe all of us. But we have a hard time trusting that this food will endure and relying on that. We get caught up with the food that's going to endure for a day. We get caught up with maybe the excitement. There's lots of things to do in Pittsburgh, and we can go places, and we go see concerts. You can go downtown and eat at a nice restaurant. And enjoy things and what we should enjoy life. That's not what I'm saying. But it's like that. Those things, you have to keep doing them, right? You have to keep going back. You have to keep searching after stuff. And you know, I can make my yard look good and I can clean it up. It needs the weeds are growing better than the grass right now. But another day, you chop all the daisies' heads off and then they're back the next day. And that's our life. And so here he's dealing with these people. And I love what he does. He redirects them to the food that endures, to him, back to him. What must we do? He says, basically, you just believe in me. It's already done, he's saying. Religious people, they always look for something. I got to do this. I got to do that. What must we do? So as we keep going down through here, he says, do not work for the food that perishes. What do? They say, well, show us a sign then. Show us a sign. And he just fed 5,000, remember? And he walked on the water. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, was it not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven? But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so they asked for a sign. You remember what he said? You missed the sign. You didn't seek me out because you saw the sign. You sought me out because you had the fill of the breads. He actually mentions specifically about the sign that they were given. And the signs were meant to say that this is God. This is to point out to them that so that you would believe in Jesus as the Christ and believe and have faith and have eternal life. Look at John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, or 29 to 31. It talks about why the signs were given. The signs were so people that would believe that Jesus is the Christ and that they would have faith in him, believe in him, and have eternal life. These things were written so that you would have these things. And here's Jesus pointing out to this crowd that was seeking him, you didn't pay attention to the sign. You're just seeking me for the bread. The stuff that doesn't last. He says, don't work for that stuff. What's the work of God? That you believe in him who he has sent. Well, they said, well, show us a sign. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, was not Moses who gave you the bread? Was it not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven? But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I don't know where you're at, but the bread that was given to Moses and the people in the wilderness was only for the nation of Israel. It only satisfied the nation of Israel. Notice he says, I'm the bread that satisfies the world. That's a big point. So as we look at this and we think about it, when we think about the sign that was given, think about Exodus chapter 16. Moses fed the people for 40 years, and he fed probably 2 million people. And each day they had to go out and gather the bread. And they weren't allowed to get too much. They were only allowed to have enough for the day. In other words, trust me for today. I'll bring again tomorrow what you need for tomorrow. Right? And then on the fifth, before the Sabbath, they had to gather more than enough because they were supposed to rest on the Sabbath. So they were allowed to gather twice as much. Many Bible scholars estimate the multitude in the wilderness was upwards of 2 million people. And if you think about 6 pints of manna was to be collected for every person, that would be 12 million pints every day. It would take 10 trains, each pulling 30 boxcars filled with manna every day to feed the multitude. It would be tons of bread. They did not have to go anywhere. They didn't have to go find it. It was right at their door. It was curb service. It was a delivery right from God. And it rained right outside their tent. All they had to do was go gather it. And that was happening, this multiplying the blessing. And you can see that the incredible blessing God showered upon these people. And yet, they grumbled. They complained. The bread from heaven was always more than each person needed, and yet they complained and grumbled. And here's Jesus saying, I am the true bread of heaven. But they say, we want a bigger sign. You only provided bread for 5,000 people for a day. Moses, he took care of us for 40 years in the wilderness. And he provided it every day. And Jesus says to them, make sure you note there, Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. He says, my Father. So here he is talking to the people about their needs for hunger and thirsting, to feed themselves, to supply them for a life, for a world, for an eternity. He says, you need me. I think you know what they said? They said, sir, give us this bread. Always. The manna only sustains life for a day, but Jesus gives life for eternity. And they say, we want this bread. We want it wherever we have to go. We want this bread. Give us this bread. And it reminds me of the song of U2, the lyrics in U2. Some of you just woke up. Like, what in the world is he talking about U2? Do you know the song? I keep going back to the Rolling Stones about satisfaction. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about U2's song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, because they say, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I believe the kingdom come, then all the colors will bleed into one. But yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame, You know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Now, when they interviewed Edge, they talked to him who came up with the title of that song, and he's talking about the fact that it's a description of his faith, the struggle to maintain faith when the proof of divinity can't ever be pinned down by us mere mortals. And I thought, how sad. It can't be pinned down. Well, here's Jesus, and he's telling you who he is. And he's came. People know that Jesus has come. And that he still can't pin it down. Are we like that? Do we know who the bread comes from? Do we know who the bread is? It's not the bread, it's a person. And so we want this bread. And so as we look at this, these people want a sign, and he tells them, he says, I am the sign, basically. And so what must we do? Well, he starts telling them who he is. He said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, in verse 32, was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Notice that he's saying, it's my Father. He wants them to know who he is and what he's done. And he says, for the bread of God, in verse 33, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now again, that sounds like the woman at the well, doesn't it? Give me this bread. Give me this water. They were asking for a meal ticket, not the Messiah. The bread was a metaphor, not the actual body and blood. But Jesus goes down the road with them, and he says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have eternal life. That's a hard saying, isn't it? And so we'll get back to that in a minute here. But he's the true bread that came down from heaven. And he keeps saying this over and over again. He says to them in verse 41, he says, the Jews grumbled because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven in verse 41. They picked up on that. They understand what he's saying. They're saying, you said you were the bread from heaven that came down. Imagine if I came up here and said, I came down from heaven. What would you think? You'd think I lost my mind. Jesus is telling these people, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And whoever comes to me shall never hunger or thirst. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. And he pushes the ball even farther with them. And he says in verse 53, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, some of you came from different backgrounds, and you've been taught something about this that has to do with communion. This was a metaphor. It started out as a metaphor, and it hasn't changed. And he's saying, basically, that for those of you that will take advantage of my death, in other words, my sacrifice on the cross, I am the bread. It is my blood that's in the cup. But he's not saying it as it's the real presence. Psalm 22, it's 27. Psalm 27, verse 2 is a very good verse if you want to look at this. It says, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversary and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. My adversaries who assail me to eat up my flesh. He's saying basically to take advantage of my death. My adversaries and foes, it's those who stumble and fall. In 1 Chronicles 11, 19, it says, far be it from me before God that I should do this. Shall I drink the lifeblood of these men? It's David talking. He's saying, should I drink the lifeblood of these men? Should I take advantage of what they've done? For the risk of their lives, they brought it. Talking about water, they risked their lives. Should I drink the lifeblood of these men? He refused to drink it. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these mighty men. Talking about the advantage of their sacrifice. It is a metaphor of what Jesus is saying is that when you take this bread, when you receive Jesus Christ as the bread of life, you identify with him, who he is and what he came to do. You identify him. You have a union with him and his sacrifice on his cross. You participate in the sense that you identify with him, like when we take communion. But that's not what he's not talking about communion right now. You understand that? Now, this is going to push some people. It pushed them. They rejected it. Some of the people left. And he kept asking, he looks at his disciples, he goes, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. What are we saying when we eat this bread? It's in his sacrifice. We have union with him. We are identifying with him and who he is and what he's done. He is the bread of life that satisfies. He satisfies our hunger and thirst. And so they definitely picked up on this. They said to him, what do you mean? What are you talking about? In verse 41 and 42, if you would, just take your eyes back up there. It says, so the Jews grumbled against him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus? What are you talking about? Is this not Jesus, they said, the son of Joseph? Whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have came down from heaven? So they're confused about his identity. And so he gives them this preaching. And he keeps telling them, I am the bread of heaven. If you read through this, it just keeps, he keeps saying, I'm the bread of heaven. I came down. And he starts talking about salvation, how people are saved. Here's another area that's going to push some of you. In verse 37, he says, all that the Father has given me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Who comes to Jesus? Only those whom the Father has given to Jesus. Does he give everyone to Jesus? Obviously not. How are people saved? All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, he will never cast out. I quote beg because I hope it helps you. He says there's a number of impossibilities contained in these verses. One is, the first of all, the impossibility of our human nature simply laying hold of Christ. In other words, we just figure it out. Or we just desire. He says, then we do lay hold on Christ. It is a result of divine necessity. It doesn't say, look at the verse again, all that the Father gives me may come to me. It doesn't say that. All that the Father gives me has the opportunity to come to me. It doesn't say that either. It doesn't say all that the Father gives me is able to come to me. But all that the Father gives me will come to me. It's not a may. It's not a if you feel like it. It's not like, well, if you figure it out, you may come to him. It says you will come to him because the Father has given you to Christ. That's a very difficult thing to think about because it bothers people. Notice what he follows it up with. For I have come down from heaven, again, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, and this is the will of him who sent me, talking about the Father, that I should lose nothing at all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. That is a powerful promise for those whom the Father has given to Jesus. They may have eternal life, and it is secured in the Father's hand. Jesus said in John 10, no one can take you out of the Father's hand. No one. Now, I'm telling you, this pushes people, and there's a great mystery to it, admittedly. But listen to what Beg follows that up with. He says, the voice of the preacher, which is me in this case, or in Jesus, which is an external voice, knocks at the human heart. Knocks at the human heart. It's the inner call of God that the internal voice, which unlocks the heart, opens it. This is what God does. That internal voice that unlocks the door, unlocks the heart. Because people will say, well, how do I know if I said, how do we know that we're part of the company that Father gives the Son? By coming to Christ. He said, for if you, it's, he, you will come if the Father has given you to Jesus. And you're secure. I will not lose any of them, he says. I can't lose anybody. He keeps saying, I have come down from heaven. Nobody says this, can say this. Muhammad doesn't make this claim. Buddha doesn't make this claim. Krishna doesn't make this claim. Nobody makes this claim, I have come down from heaven. He says, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then he follows it up in John chapter 6, 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. And it is written in the prophets, they will come. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard it and learned from the Father comes to me. Verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life, and I am the bread of life. Your fathers, he says, ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that no one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. It's talking about his sacrifice. Now, we need to move past this part because this is about salvation and security. His identity is important, who he is and what he's done. His salvation and his security in that we are trusting in Jesus, the person, not the piece of bread, and that his invitation is to come to him. And so he invites us to come to him. J.C. Ryle says, the soul of every man and woman is naturally starving and famining through sin. The bread of life sustains the life for eternal life. Jesus gives life. Christ is given. The manna was for the old, was for the nation of Israel. Jesus came to give life to the world. He desired that future generations would see what the manna was like, that they may see God's faithfulness and covenant. The bread of the old was the nation of Israel. Remember what they did with it. They hid the manna inside the Ark of the Covenant. The hidden manna was a prophetic promise that God would once again rain grace and shower his people who are dwelling in sin. Jesus came while the world was sitting in darkness. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, that whoever comes to me will live. Whoever believes in me, they shall never hunger or thirst. The manna only satisfies the body. Jesus has come to satisfy the soul. And what's promised here is Jesus says, I will never cast you out if you come to me. Christ will receive you graciously, pardon you freely, and place in his number of his dear children and give him everlasting life if you come to Jesus. Now you think about thousands of people seeking him and following him. How often do you hear people say, if I just saw another sign, I would have believed. If I'd just been there when he had done those things, I would have believed. No, you wouldn't. Only the people who the Father gives to Jesus will come to Jesus. People are looking for satisfaction, for fame, through feasting and fortune. Fame can't bring it. Neither can feasting. And fortune can't buy it. I heard Pastor Buse talking about Lord Byron. He's a famous poet in the UK. And he was on television in the 18th century. They were broadcasting about him on television. He lived in the 18th century. And he said, every possible appetite of his body had to be satisfied. In one of his poems, he described his own experience. Basically, he had set his heart on the world. He graphically described his own case in these words. He says, drank every cup of joy, heard every trump of fame, drank early, drank deep, drank drafts that common millions might have drunk, then died of thirst because there was no more to drink. The Lord Byron seemed to have everything. And he once said, I think I've had 10 happy days in my whole life. What's he missing? The manna of old can only satisfy for a period. Jesus satisfies forever. The manna of old could only satisfy for a season. Jesus satisfies for eternity, friend. Over and over again, we hear biographies of people who had everything, just like Solomon, and found it to be vanity. Contrast that with Christ. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I will never drive you away. I will save you and give you eternal life. My friend, come back to the teacher and find rest for your soul and peace and your heart. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for you to help us to understand that Christ satisfies comprehensively, permanently in terms of eternal life. For those that are here that have come to you, we pray, God, that you would help them and bless them and be with them. We thank you for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you on this weekend. Hear the words of the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.